a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, members of the committee and those that are here to watch. And welcome to those that are listening over the Internet. This is the inaugural meeting for the House Local Government Committee. I think everybody is here now. Okay, thank you. At this time, I'm going to ask the secretary to take the roll.
Representative Craig.
Here.
Hayek.
Here.
Heineman.
Here.
Heinert.
Here.
Flatterell.
Here.
Nelson.
Here.
Olson. Otten.
Here.
Soli.
Here.
Tolson.
Aye.
Tyler.
Here.
Rossum.
Here.
Rounds.
Here.
Chairman Rounds, quorum is present.
We do have a quorum. Just a brief reminder, if you have a cell phone, please shut it off. If you got a laptop computer with you, turn the sound down. We do have, as most of you know, fines if something is to go off during the course of a committee meeting. You will notice on one of the handouts that committee meetings are a little more relaxed than on the floor, so that gives the chairperson a little more latitude. I know the speaker would like beef jerky and Diet Coke as a fine. I personally prefer a donation to the charity of the chair's choice if your cell phone goes off. These interruptions do bother the committee sometimes. Good morning.
Good morning. Where am I? Here.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair. Representative Lateral.
Is there any type of food items that you would like for non-penalty reasons?
I do like beef jerky, but it's not that we need a beef jerky. It's because we would want it. Excuse me. Follow-up, Representative Lateral.
And is it true that there is no food in this committee room?
That's one of the rules I'm going to get to. I do not want food, especially up here in this finally finished desk up here. Coffee's okay. Energy drink. You should have that before you come here so you have the energy. But please, no food while you're in committee. Those are some of the rules that we're going to cover. At this point in time, I generally ask for approval of the minutes, being we have no minutes, but this is the point in time I would ask for it during the meeting. For those of you that are here today, and I'm looking across the room here, you have been here before, most of you. You know that you're supposed to sign in when you come in if you're going to testify. That information is a great resource for the chair when he's trying to get time figured out on a bill debate. And please use the pages to hand out information. If the pages are busy, I do have an intern. At this time, I do have my pages here. Would you please use Representative Betty Olson's microphone? Introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from.
I'm Ben Goody, and I'm from Hartford, and I go to West Central High School.
And welcome. Pages are a great asset to us up here. You'll find out for those that are new. We really would have a hard time without them. I also have with us today my intern, our intern. I make him available to members of the committee if they need something done. But our intern, could you please introduce yourself? Tell us where you're from.
Hey, my name is Dan Bicey. I'm from Redwood Falls, Minnesota. I'm a recent graduate of SPSU, and I'm Representative Realms' intern and also Representative Hanson.
And thank you. Like I said, I want to keep him busy. If members of the committee need something, if it's something large, come and see me. But minor tasks and stuff, he wants to stay busy. He wants to learn the process. They are a great asset to the committee also. Would there be any other interns in here right now? Okay. Why don't you stand up, tell us who you're interning for and where you're from. And what university did you?
Northern.
Good for you. I'm waiting to hear somebody say they're from Black Hill State. Then we really got quality here, folks. I'd like to welcome you all again. I've been away from the legislature for 2 years, and prior to that time, I chaired the Commerce Committee, and I was a member of this committee. And so I'm a little bit rusty as we get going. I'll get everything back as time goes on. I gave you all, the members of the committee, a couple of handouts. One of them is the procedures for the committee chair. I want you folks on the committee to kind of understand the flow of the committee, how we start the committee, the process, and as we get into debate, the process we're going to use. As we get into it, we'll have consideration of bills. I'll introduce the bill number. I'll ask for proponent testimony. I'll ask if at that time if there's any opponents. And then if there are opponents, I'll ask the proponent to give a short rebuttal. And after that, we'll have committee questions, committee discussion, and then committee action. And as we get going, you'll all understand the committee action. There's a lot in the second handout, which is committee procedure under the rules I gave you. A lot of different action that can be taken during the course of a committee. My previous years, I used to delegate a day during session, one of the committee meetings, in which the committee can challenge or try and trick the chair on motions of some sort and need to keep the chair on their toes. So I want, you know, to be challenged a few times, and it just so happens I declare today that day, so if you have any challenges for the chair, let's hear them. Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. But we'll okay, we'll save that. And then there's another handout I believe I gave you. I don't know how many I gave out. Did I? Two or three?
Three.
Okay, the other one is the framework of a committee. That's information we passed out at the chair committees. Again, I want everybody to be on the same page as the chairman or madam chair, as whoever is holding the gavel. Coming to that, the young lady to my right is the vice chair. At any time I hand that person the gavel, they are the chair. And I ask for respect for the position of chair, the same as you would give the chairman or whoever else is holding the gavel. You respect the position, and that being said, as we go through committee, all questions, all testimony, all discussion goes through the chair. The chair controls the discussion. If you've got a question, it's Mr. Chair. If you've got a motion, it's Mr. Chair. Everything goes through the chairman and whoever the chair is. There could be a time where I am away. The vice chair has to step out to testify. At that point, the vice chair has that ability, or I'd have the ability to appoint another member of committee to be the chair. That person would also be entitled to that same respect. This time I'd like the committee members, and I'm going to start on my far right. I would like you to take turns, starting on my far right, introducing yourself to those that are in the audience today and to those on the Internet. Tell us who you are, the district, and where you're from.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Troy Heinert. I'm from Mission, South Dakota. I represent District 26A.
Mr. Chair, I'm Representative Heineman from District 8, four counties, Lake, Sanborn, Minor, and Moody County. I'm from Flandreau.
I'm Representative Herman Otten from District 6. I live in the city of T.
I'm Representative Ann Hayek from District 14 in Sioux Falls, which is the southeastern section of the city.
I'm Tona Rosem, and I can't talk very well today. District 20, Mitchell is the major city in all of that area, home of the world's only corn palace, just in case you didn't know that. And then a lot of much smaller communities in the surrounding area. Girald County is new to our area this year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Bert Tolson from Lake Norton, and represent District 2. That'd be parts of Brown County, most of Spink County, Hamlin and Clark County, and you're welcome to come to Lake Norton to see the South Dakota Baseball Hall of Fame.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Representative Stace Nelson from District 19. I'm proud to represent the great people from Hanson, Douglas, Hutchinson, Douglas, and Bonhomme County. Emma Cook.
Morning, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Isaac Latterell from District 6, along with Herman Otten, representing northern Lincoln County, which includes T. Lennox and Harrisburg, and I live in southern Sioux Falls.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Scott Craig, representing Meade and Pennington County, District 33.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I'm Karen Soli, and I represent District 15, which is a central part of Sioux Falls, and I live in the shadow of the cathedral there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Kathy Tyler from District 4, Grant, Coddington, Dewell, and Brookings counties, except for the cities of Brookings and Watertown. Thank you.
And good morning to everybody. I'm Representative Betty Olson from the west half, District 28, of all of District 28, which comprises the entire northwest quarter of the state. And my mailing address is the little town of Prairie City.
Thank you, committee members. To my left, we have probably the most important people on this committee. I would like you folks to introduce yourselves. First, Fred, tell us, Mr. Botts, tell us your experience, and then we'll have the committee secretary introduce herself.
Hello, I'm Fred Botts, and I work for the Legislative Research Council, and I'm your staff person for House Local Government. I also do staff House Taxation, Senate Taxation, and Senate Transportation.
Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Liz Markley. I have House and Senate Local Government. Haven't done committee work for a good number of years. I worked in the main office of LRC the last 2 years, so I'm going to pretend like I know what I'm doing, and we'll hope for the best.
Thank you very much. Two very invaluable members here. But before we get into the agenda, and I put together an agenda today just to introduce the committee members, especially those that are new, to the faces that we will see a lot during this year's session. These are the people that you will also want to use as a valuable resource. Most of them have been here prior to my time. I know one of them, Ms. Taylor from Municipal League, I think you started when you were 12, and that was, 13, 14 years ago? I think she had pigtails and braces on when she first testified up here. But these people have been here, and they've been here for a reason. It's because they know their subject matter, they know who they represent, and they know the issues at hand. Use them as a resource. Contact them. They're going to introduce themselves and some of their staff. I feel with the issues we deal with here, municipalities, counties, townships, sometimes utilities, sometimes the press even. I see some press members in here today. But these are the people that you will see pretty much every committee meeting. I only ask for a few things during the course of session when I'm chairing. I ask for respect to those that are testifying. This is the people's house. Every bill is important to someone. You may not like the bill when it comes into committee, but we are here to hear the people and what issues are important to them. So I do ask for the respect when people are testifying. Please stay away from your computers, newspapers, or reading stuff, and give them your full attention. When people come up here, they demand the respect. We should be giving them that respect. Also, I've always considered us a family. Family comes first on my committee. If you have an issue at home, then they are the people that really or the reason why you're here. They're the ones that support you the most. If you have an issue at home, let me know. I will arrange whatever I can. If there's an important bill or a subject that's coming up in a meeting, I will do what I can to make sure that you take care of stuff at home first. We can deal with it later, but family comes first. We got to work together. I want to give you folks, your families, the respect they deserve. That's why we're here. They're the ones who are supporting us. I'm fortunate enough, and I didn't introduce myself, but I got an 8-block drive every day to get down here. And you, some of you have to travel about 4 hours to get here. And being away from home, it's a little tough sometimes. If you've got a problem, come see me. I'll work with you. I'll do what I can. That being said, our first speaker today, in front of us today, we have the Honorable Secretary of State, Jason Gant. I've asked him to come up and address the committee. Good morning, Mr. Secretary.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you very much for the invitation to come speak to the committee on this, I guess, third day of session already. They're starting to fly by quickly. As Secretary of State, there's a number of issues that my office handles. Elections are usually the biggest issue that come before the local government committee. Working with all elections across the state, whether it's the county elections, city elections, school elections, we try and work with and partner with all of those different groups. That's where working a lot with the Municipal League, working a lot with the County Officials Association. So there's a lot of cooperation between the different parties. But what I'd like to do, and if we have questions afterwards, I'd be more than welcome to, just wanted to kind of give a summary of some of the election initiatives that have been taking place over the past year and 2 years. Of course, this past general election, you were all successful. Congratulations in your election. We had a great turnout. It was 69% of registered voters across the state. We have right around 520,000 registered voters across the state, and 69% of them went out and cast their ballot on Election Day. Of those roughly 300,000 folks who went out there and cast their ballot, almost 100,000 of them cast their ballots by absentee voting, which, of course, in South Dakota, we have two types of absentee voting. You can vote in person at your local county courthouse, at the county auditor's office, or two, you can vote by mail, where the county auditor will, of course, mail you that absentee ballot. You'll fill it out on your kitchen table and return it back to the county auditor. So we're seeing that trend staying over the past couple elections. Of roughly a third of South Dakotans who are casting their ballots are doing it through the absentee process. The other exciting initiative that took place in 2012 was the use of vote centers in the primary as well as the general election. For those of you returning, you remember a couple years ago we passed some legislation regarding vote centers and electronic poll books and how that system could help encourage more citizens to get out there and cast their ballot. One of the saddest comments I had heard from past elections was, I showed up to vote at 6:55, the polls closed in 5 minutes, but I was at the wrong location. Well, with vote centers and electronic poll books, we eliminate that problem, because for those counties who use that system, there is no wrong place to vote. You can vote at any of the different vote centers across the county. So we're very excited. We used Hyde County, Sully County, and Potter County, which are just north of Pier here, in the primary election. And then for the general election, we used those three counties, as well as Yankton County was our newest county to use the electronic poll books and vote centers. And changing something in elections is always something you want to be very cautious about. You want to take it systematically, where we're step by step and learning as we go. And with Yankton, I was very pleased, because that was our largest area of using it for a state election, and the response from the citizens of Yankton County was just overwhelming. They just absolutely loved the fact that they were able to vote anywhere at any of the different locations across the county. So, very encouraged about the progress with vote centers and electronic poll books. We're, of course, continuing that process. We have a couple elections this spring for the city and school level that are going to be using the systems as well. So we're looking forward to those types of activities this spring. In addition to that, my office applied for and received a grant from the federal government for roughly $500,000 to work on improving our military voting for overseas citizens. And we're very excited about that. It's a partnership with the state of Nebraska and their Secretary of State's office. And over this year, we're going to be putting together a number of testing opportunities and mock elections to try and work with, especially the folks who have just come back from serving overseas, on what were some of the challenges in voting and what can we do to try and make voting easier and more accessible for our servicemen and women overseas. On election night, we added some new activities for our election night reporting system. As candidates, you are all probably on that site on election night, seeing how the votes were coming in. And what we did was we added some personalization to the website, where you could tweet. If you're on Twitter, you could tweet some of the results. You could post it on Facebook. And you could also just select the races that you were interested in. Well, obviously, you're going to be concerned about yourself, so you probably had yourself selected. But then maybe you're concerned about a few of your other friends, or maybe a statewide ballot question or something like that. So we're very excited about how the election night reporting system has been evolving and trying to make it more personalized, so people can exactly get the information that they're looking for. We did have kind of a sad case before the primary election last year. During the 2011 session, we passed a piece of legislation that would allow for an emergency situation should a county auditor or another governmental agency not be able to conduct their election, that the Office of the Secretary of State would be able to go in and conduct that election. Sadly, we had to use that emergency provision in law this past spring for the primary. We had a county auditor pass away just a few weeks before the election. McPherson County was the county, and they declared an emergency and asked the Secretary of State's office to conduct that election, and we did that. And it was a very sad situation, but we were able to make sure that the election went smoothly as it has been planned. Another initiative that is just in the infant stages is a new voter registration and overall election system. This computer system, which we have named Total Vote, takes all of the various components of our election procedures, our election from voter registration to canceling a voter to receiving a candidate's petitions to a canvassing an election to election night reporting, on and on, the entire gamut of the entire election process. This new system, which we unveiled just a month or so ago, is really going to help bring all of those resources together so that the state can share those resources with other governmental agencies. One of my initiatives that I wanted to accomplish upon taking office was my concern that for city and school elections, our servicemen and women who are serving overseas, they usually only have absentee voting in a city election for 15 days. Well, how can we do something to help them to make sure if they want to vote in a city election on who their mayor is going to be, we should give them that opportunity. So with this new system, one of the, it's by far my favorite part of this new system, is to allow cities and schools, if they want to use that system, and it doesn't cost them anything because the state's already paid for it, we've already done everything, that they could use this system to use the electronic system to get those ballots to those men and women for a city and school election. So again, very excited about that. In addition to that, like the sample ballots and different things like that. So all the, treats, so to speak, that we have on a state election are now available to our cities and schools. And again, it's just an option, and we've had a number of them asked to use it, so we're excited about that. One of the things I've always tried to be conscious of is not trying to force something upon the local governments. I talk a lot about vote centers and electronic poll books, and now I talk about how we're trying to make voting easier for military servicemen and women. Well, it always needs to be an option. If they don't want to do it, I mean, that's fine. We don't want to force them. But if they do want to use these resources, I think it's part of my responsibility to ensure that they can. So With that, Mr. Chairman, a lot of exciting things with elections. Of course, that's only about a third of what the office does, but I just wanted to give you some highlights on the election parts of the office. And again, if you have any ideas about improving our elections or anything that came up during the election that you have questions about, please don't hesitate to give me a holler. I'll come upstairs and visit with you, or feel free to come on down to the office and we'll get you whatever you need. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Real quick, you do have some staff with you. Staff that will be coming up also?
I have with me Patricia Miller. She is my Deputy Secretary of State, and she and I will be handling the election issues up here on committee action.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Appreciate it. And thank you, Mr. Secretary. And they do have one of the two bills that are in committee right now that have been assigned. Is one of them's coming from the Secretary of State's office. Feel free, if you've got questions on that bill, he's more than happy to visit with you about, or his Deputy Secretary. Next on the agenda, South Dakota Municipal League and Ms. Taylor. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League, and that's probably the first of 100 times you'll hear me say that this year. Representing the Municipal League in front of this committee will primarily be myself and Jeff Melhoff in our office. Jeff and I are both full-time, year-round employees of the Municipal League. This is what we do, and this is just one part of our job. Also with the Municipal League, who we asked to help us out on legislative issues, are Jim Hood, an attorney from Spearfish, and Larry Nelson, who is an attorney from Canton. And I don't believe they're in the room, but you may see them speaking on behalf of the Municipal League at different times during the year, too. Municipalities, there are 310 of them in South Dakota. They range in size from, we have a town of population of 7 to, of course, our largest city has a population of about 150,000. And they are anywhere in between. About 70% of South Dakota's population, of our citizens, live within the boundaries of an incorporated municipality. And so one way or another, our members represent a lot of the population in this state. South Dakota has a setup wherein the municipalities are called creatures of the state, and we operate under what is called Dillon's Rule. And that means we have to come to the legislature to get your authority to do things. And so you may see us with bills that you almost think are silly. You're going to see things that are just common sense, and you're going to wonder why we're here with a bill. And it's because in order to do things, even if it's perfectly good sense, we have to have your permission to do them. And so you will see those bills in front of you. We deal with a wide range of issues. Utilities and infrastructure will be one of our big ones this year. Water, sewer, streets. It's a lot of the stuff that we do that people don't think of us doing and don't realize we're doing until it doesn't work. And then we hear about it. But we do a lot with that. We deal with economic development. We'll be in front of you on governance issues, bid laws, local procedures, publications, and open government issues, and governing body and how they work. We work with elections quite a bit, and we do quite a bit of that. We deal with law enforcement, of course. We deal with fire protection and prevention. We deal with building codes. You will see us in front of you on a wide range of issues. The exception to the Dillon's Rule thing that I just spoke about is our home rule cities. We have 10 home rule cities, and I personally I love home rule. In a home rule city, they have the powers, not the powers that you give them, but they have the powers that they have that you haven't prohibited. And so it kind of turns it on its head, but it's true local control. And that is actually where I would end. The Municipal League, that is our founding principle. It is the one thing we always stand for, and that is local control. By and large, we believe that most issues are best dealt with by the people who are most affected by them locally. And so we, if you ever have a question where we stand, that's where we stand. We stand for local control. We are happy to be in front of this committee. We are happy to answer any questions, give you any information, anything you need, we stand ready for, and we look forward to working with you throughout the legislative session. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Next, we have the South Dakota County Commissioners. Is anybody here from them today? You'll be here in just, why don't we just jump South Dakota County officials?
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Roger Tellinghusen. I'm an attorney from Rapid City. I'm also the lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of County Officials. The County Officials Association consists of the registers of deeds, auditors, and treasurers. And they regularly meet every year. They have an annual convention, and at their convention they discuss changes to the law that they would like to propose to the legislature. And once they settle upon what those changes should be from their perspective, then they hand it off to Chris Jacobson, who's sitting right back there, works with Bob Wilcox, who also represents the County Commissioners Association. And then together we put these together into a bill form and present them to you. This year we'll have four bills, actually, that we're presenting to you, which, knock on wood, we'd like to characterize as four simple little bills. And they're really just cleanup bills. And we look forward to work with you. If there's any questions or any other bills or legislation that comes up that you believe affects county officials, specifically auditors, registers of deeds, or treasurers, be happy to visit with you and try and act as a resource for you to secure information from our members. We represent 178 individual office holders around the state. And we look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And just a reminder to the committee, when you hear those words, this is a simple bill. Beware. I'm going to jump to the South Dakota towns and townships. Now, this gentleman is doing it right. The page will be handing out a handout from him, and that'll help explain the townships a little better. So, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Dick Howard, and I represent the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. In the past, I've represented the Association of County Commissioners and the Department of Transportation and a few other organizations, so I've been around here for quite a while. Well, the chairman asked me yesterday to start out with Township 101, so that's what I'm doing. The handout that the page is handing out, at the very top it says, "What the heck is a township?" So we're starting pretty basic, and we'll work through there. Well, first of all, a township has nothing to do with a town. There are two types of townships. One is a congressional township, and the other is a political township. The congressional township is a unit measure of land. And back in 1783, I wasn't here then, but the Great Britain and the United States formally ended the American Revolutionary War by signing a treaty at Paris. Under this treaty, the United States, then governed by the Second Continental Congress, acquired title to lands lying northwest of the Ohio River, an area known as the Northwest Territory. We know this area today as the states of Indiana, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, and part of Minnesota. Well, when the Congress took that over, they thought it would be a good opportunity to sell some of this property, but they needed a way to survey it and determine how much land they had and how to divide it up. So in 1875, by the Land Ordinance Act of 1875, they set up the survey system that established the congressional township as being 6 by 6 by 6 square miles, which currently is the basic size of a township in South Dakota, although they are now political townships rather than just congressional townships. So the congressional ones were just a unit of measure 6 by 6. A political subdivision is of no standard size, and they were created as a way to build and maintain schools, roads, justice of the peace, constable, etc., that have meaning in life. So they were the earliest forms of local government. Townships are, they're really subunits of county government. In their formation, the county commissioners are involved in establishing the boundaries and in getting them organized. Then they become independent units of government that have their own responsibilities and authorities and obligations. A typical township, well, let me show you. There's a map attached here that I would like to, that shows the townships in South Dakota. Every little square on this map represents a township. And some of them are not square because they're political townships that might be made up of one or two or three congressional townships. The ones that are in purple, that shows the townships that are members of our association. But there are 919 organized townships in South Dakota. The part of the state where there are no little square boxes, the townships in those counties are unorganized, and the county has responsibility for doing all of the township functions within those areas. So we still have quite a large number of townships. Townships, their main activity, well, they have two, but the main one is maintaining roads and bridges. And if you look at the picture here on that front page, it kind of shows the breakdown there, that there's a section line road every mile. And still, in a good part of eastern South Dakota, we have roads at basically every mile. Those roads serve as farm-to-market roads, farm-to-field roads. They provide access for farmers and ranchers, rural economic development facilities like feedlots and ethanol plants and things like that. They serve as school bus routes and mail routes, and they provide access for hunting and fishing. So township roads serve a function that's important to our economic development and quality of life in South Dakota. Townships are not wealthy. Just some information on the this goes back a couple years. It's 2010 was the latest information I had from the Department of Legislative Audit. But in 2010, the total receipts for all the townships in the state was $28,500,000. The expenditures were just about that same amount. But on their revenues, a little over 40%, 41% of the revenue comes from highway user fees. Townships get a portion of the motor vehicle license registration fees. Both commercial and non-commercial. They get a little bit of gas tax under a provision that was approved back in 1999. But they got about, out of their total revenue, almost $12 million came from highway user fees. Their other main source of revenue is property tax. In this particular year, their property tax was almost $13 million, and that represented 45% of their total revenues. On the expenditure side, 81% of their expenditures went for road maintenance, snow removal, weed mowing, equipment purchase, and things like that. So, and then the other activity they're involved in is fire protection, and a little over 5% of their expenditures were fire protection. So it shows that clearly roads and bridges is their function. They operate on pretty low administrative costs. The annual salary, fees, mileage for township officials was $1.4 million, or about 5% of their expenditures. a typical township has three elected supervisors, one elected each year on a rotating schedule, and then a clerk and a treasurer that are elected for a one-year term who are non-voting members. So a township is really operated by a three-member board of supervisors that have the voting authority. Just a little more information on property tax. In 2011, the percentage of the total property tax that was collected that year, townships got 1.64%. So we get a fairly pretty small percentage of the property tax that are collected in the state. The average levy for townships is 81 cents per $1,000 of value. So townships are authorized. They have a maximum mill levy of $3, but their average during this past year was 80 cents is the amount they levy. Townships, they have to opt out often if they want to do a project. So through 2011, from the time the tax freeze went on, there were 732 township opt-outs. They averaged about $10,000 per opt-out. They were opted for a particular project. Out of those 732, there were only 14 of them that were referred to a vote. And out of those 14, 9 were approved and 5 were defeated. So most of the time when they opt out, the neighbors understand what it's for and there's no election. In terms of miles of township roads, the townships are responsible for about 5,000 miles of primitive or unimproved roads. Those are basically section lines that have never been developed. They have 24,000 miles of gravel road, and they have a total of 250 miles of paved road. 244 miles of that is asphalt, and they have 7 miles of concrete road. So they have a lot of gravel roads and dirt roads. The South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships was organized in 1980 as the South Dakota Organization of Townships. In 1987, it was expanded to become the Association of Towns and Townships, and the small towns in the state were offered the opportunity to become part of our association, and we do have a few small cities or towns that are part of our organization along with our townships. The association basically provides education and informational material to the towns. We put out several publications and a quarterly newsletter and things like that. The association is governed by a board of directors, 12 members. The main office for the association is in Huron. The current executive director is Diane Worrell, who's in Huron. I serve as the registered lobbyist for the association, and I'll be here, as some of the others, quite frequently. It's interesting. We're going to have 4 bills, and primarily they deal with updating older, almost prehistoric laws. We're looking at one that was adopted in 1870 by the Dakota legislature, Dakota Territory. In a couple that were adopted in 1877. So we're going to try to modernize some of our requirements. So I'll be getting those filed soon, I hope, and we'll have some hearings. Any questions?
Well, thank you. And what I'm going to ask the committee members is meet with you personally. And that's the introduction is what I want right now. And then with questions, meet with these individuals, these organizations personally, and visit with them and get a little more information.
Can meet your expectations of Township 101?
That met my expectations. Thank you, sir. Now we'll move back up to the South Dakota County Commissioners.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Lauren Pankratz, the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. And the first thing I'd like to do is apologize to the chairman and the committee for being in and out of the room when you were looking for presentations. So I apologize for that. One of the unique things about county commissions, and you all have them, which is what makes this particular organization unique in some respects is that you all live in a county where they have commissions. One of our challenges as an association is the diversity of population, topography, and everything else from one county to the next. And we will bring issues to you sometimes where it is very, the impact may be very limited to a county or counties in a part of the state and not necessarily be related to issues in another county or another part of the state. And to help you understand why it's important to deal with a particular county and a unique issue where it may not impact the folks in your district. So that's one of the challenges that we have. And so I look forward to talking to you. I know of one of your committee members who's been a former commissioner, and I don't know if others have, but so we're going to be presenting, I think it's four pieces of legislation that we're still drafting that we'll be bringing forward. One of them has to do with some discussion about TIFs, tax increment financing. Another one has to do with tax deeds. There is one having to do with being able to regulate the use of fireworks. Counties do not currently have that specific authority. And another has to do with crimes that may be committed on in our state correctional facilities and what we are looking to do is to ask that when that happens, that the state is responsible for subsequent prosecutions and trial costs versus having it be limited to the county in which that particular facility is located, because that can become burdensome. So those are some issues that we're going to bring forward, and we'll look forward to talking to you. And always available for questions. And if we don't have an answer, we would diligently look for a correct or appropriate response. And I would also add that Bob Wilcox is the executive director of the South Dakota Association of Co-ops, and Chris Jacobson is the assistant. And those are the folks that I work with, and you'll learn to like them as much as I do. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And thank you. Just a note, Bob Wilcox, I did contact him. Every year this week, if I'm not mistaken, he has to be in Washington, D.C. to meet with his counterpart. So he was wanting to be here, but we will be seeing a lot of him and those that we've seen in front of us here today during the course of this year's committee. Just a few things before we close up. When there is a piece of legislation that one of you may have drafted, especially in front of my committee, if you have people coming from out of town to testify, or a number of people to testify, come contact me so we can arrange it and schedule it that is the most convenient. We have limited days before crossover, and as I mentioned before, with the People's House, we want to hear the testimony from the people that are coming from out of town and those from in town also. Nothing against you folks. But work with me on that so we can schedule a time that is best. When you have a bill in front of us, a lot of times these issues have been brought up before in front of the legislature, and some of you that are new may not be familiar with the topic. Talk to those that were just in front of us, and they will give you a history of some of the bills, some of the history that's there. You can Google it, listen to past testimony, look at what the changes they're bringing to that particular topic. There's a lot of information available to us as legislators to get familiar with these topics. And we're going to be dealing with some road issues and right-of-way issues and that type of thing. And it's a variety. So if you have questions on something, contact those that were here or myself. Visit, ask questions. Some of you may know I'm a very high-tech person. Very, very high-tech. I found this new product out there that I'm going to be using in every committee. It's called paper. I will bring all of my bills in paper form to committee as a chair. During my previous stint as a chair, I've had occasional moments when these contraptions that have a picture on laptops, I think we call them, have the internet went down or some nature, we had a problem with the internet. I still proceed with the committee meeting, and I will have copies of the bills, and I use a pen, too. So I'm very high-tech, but I don't like the fact that the internet goes down, slow us down at all. So I know some people don't think that we should all be electronic, but I'm still a little old-fashioned, folks. Any comments from the committee, questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Latimer.
Do you have any spending authority to purchase any additional pens, I believe they were, for the rest of the committee?
Those would have to come out of my dwindling account, and it's dwindling very fast. As you know, our pay grade isn't that high, and so
I applaud you for being an early adopter.
Okay, thank you. And just a note, I do like to start at 10 o'clock today. We're a little bit more lax, but try and be in your seat a few minutes before 10. I would like to drop the gavel at 10 o'clock. We have people on the internet that want to pay attention. They turn on the internet, and there's dead silence for a few minutes. I don't like to keep them waiting. I don't like to keep the people out here waiting. So try and be here on time so we can get started. If you're going to be a little late, let me know. Let the vice chair know. Let somebody know. You will have times where you have bills in other committees where you have to go. By all means, let me know. I will have you excused if there's an important vote coming up on a bill and you've got to be in another committee. Let me know. We'll try and work something out. I want everybody to have their voices heard on this committee. That's what we're here for. So contact the vice chair or myself. The vice chair is going to be active very early. I'm a believer that we don't know what tomorrow brings. So I want to get her acclimated with opening the committee and hearing bills as soon as possible, just in case. So any other questions other than food and pen questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, we have a question from Representative Hayek.
Thank you. There are a number of other people in the audience, and I know you asked the certain ones to come up. Are some of these people that are present individuals that we would normally see or have issues that come before us that we would not be aware of?
Well, there are some that I've got to remember. I've been gone for 2 years. There are some new faces. There are some faces I've seen before. Some of them just like to come hear me talk. And some there's people who represent groups and associations out here. I think we caught the majority of those that we'll see every day. But the other faces out here, you're going to be meeting them. I'm seeing just one that sat up and sat back down again. You'll see her around the halls on issues. We'll have a variety of other certain issues, associations, and individuals come in to testify. But these were the main ones that we will see every meeting, maybe except for the Secretary of State. But these organizations that we had come up here, they're the ones that we'll probably see every meeting, and you really want to get to know those people. That's why I chose them to come testify. Further questions? Hearing none. Next Tuesday, I want to have a meeting. I don't know if we're going to calendar a bill or not yet. We've got two bills. I'm discussing with some people on how to handle these two bills, and I'm hoping we have a first reading today of a couple more. I'd like to get started on a bill on Tuesday, but for now, just plan on a 10 o'clock, be here a little early. You'll get the note, the agenda from the committee secretary. This time, I would love to entertain that motion.
So moved.
Second.
Who made that? Representative Heineman? Second made the motion to adjourn, seconded by Representative Ayak. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned. All right.